Before we get to that, I certainly want to get to your teaching, because from what you told me before we started, of the 45 years of your priesthood so far, 39 of them have been in the classroom at Absolutely. Different levels. Yeah. And so I really want to get into you as a teacher. But before that, take me back to growing up, traveling around the world, military family. When did you first feel that call to the priesthood? And can you tell us a little bit about your childhood?
Well, I went to Catholic schools, so I think the idea of becoming a priest was always an option, we'll put it that way. And my parents were the kind of people that, particularly on Sunday afternoon, the priests and the nuns were welcome to come to dinner. So, you know, they were kind of the priests in our parish or in our schools were always welcome at the home. But I think the moment that I remember most, well, actually, there are probably two moments. One, when I was an undergraduate at UD, and I had two finals scheduled at the same time. And so I went to, and probably administrative snafu, right? But I went to this priest, Father McCandless, John McCandless, and asked him if I could take the final at another time. And John was just a terrific human being. He was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Take it with my graduate class, Tuesday at 11 o'clock in the morning or something, we'll make all this happen. And I said, thank you very much. And I was about to leave. And he said, sit down for a minute. You know, he said, I see you at daily mass. He said, you're a really good student. He said, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? I'm like, ugh. And I said, well, you know, no, my real ambition is to be a teacher. I will probably go on to graduate school after this. But yeah, I think I really want to be a college professor. And he said, well, you know, you can do both. I said, okay, well, I'll give it some thought. So I went back to the library because I was a nerd who spent almost every evening in the library, right? And saw a friend of mine and said, God, McCandless told me I should become a priest. This guy kind of laughs and said, oh, yeah, you, of all people? No, I don't think so. But then he goes and stands behind one of the pillars and he says, Sean, feed my sheep. So he was joking, but obviously yeah. The seed was planted. So the next, I graduated in the meantime and went to Notre Dame to do master's degree. And we wouldn't have called it back then, but it was clearly a polar vortex. And I think it went down to 37 below zero. Mm. And there was a lot of snow that fell on South Bend that winter. And the university shut down for, I think, the first time in its history. So I was at home, graduate student, kind of finishing up all my reading, and I kind of fell into one of those reveries that you do when your work is done. And in the reverie, I kind of saw myself walking down the aisle of Sacred Heart Basilica, which is the big church at Notre Dame, and disappearing into the sacristy and coming out minutes later to lead the congregation in the liturgy. And I kind of came out of the reverie and thought, oh, well, maybe I should become a priest then. One thing led to another, and the following year I was in seminary, and 2.5 years later I was ordained as a priest. I kind of went through the seminary pretty quickly.
And the Dallas connection is because you went to UD?
Yeah. And I didn't know the rules back then, and I just called Bishop Shapey, and I said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about becoming a priest, and, I want to be a teacher. And people keep telling me to join the Jesuits or the Dominicans or the Benedictines or something. I said, but I don't want to do that. I think I really am called to be a diocesan priest. And Bishop Shapey was like, oh, come on down. We got plenty of schools. And I did. And the rest is history.
Yeah. It's interesting that you thought that maybe being a priest would preclude you from being a teacher,
right.
But it's just been the opposite. I mean,
right.
Most of the time you've been a priest, you've been a teacher.
Right.
And even as a pastor, I imagine there's a lot of teaching opportunities as well. I would like to speak about your time. I didn't mention this because I didn't read the whole bio, but you were the president of the Aquinas Institute of Theology in St. Louis from 2014 to 2019, the first non-Dominican priest to head the 100-year-old institute.
Yeah.
And interesting that you do that as a diocesan priest, so they just kind of borrowed you for a few years? Is that how that worked?
Well, I had been there since 2002. I had been recruited by the Dominicans in 2002 to come up and teach New Testament. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Students at Aquinas, so bright. The colleagues were terrific. The staff was incredibly helpful. I mean, it was just, it felt like paradise. And I was the faculty representative on the board of trustees. So we had had a president there who, you know, I think was a good guy, but just simply was not up to the task of administration and, you know, running the school. So the provincial for the Dominicans, who had been president of the school when I was recruited up there, came to me and said, you know, I think you ought to be the school's next president. I was like, you know, I'm not a Dominican. He's like, well, you've been here for 14 years. The brothers know you. You know, I mean, and they trust you. So I said, well, let me think about it. And, you know, I called him back and said, okay, you know, I'll do it. And, you know, it was 5 years of really hard work. Raising money was something I had not needed to do before, and I had to learn how to do that kind of on the job. But people are generous, and, you know, we managed to get the job done. And after 5 years, I said to the provincial, a new guy by that time, they are a democracy at the heart of the church, so they changed their leadership pretty readily. But I said to the provincial, I said, I'm ready to hand this back to you guys. And I got to say, the Dominicans, both the men and the women, were incredibly supportive of, you know, the work that I tried to do. And in turn, I learned a lot from them, particularly the importance of mission. And I think where the fundraising thing was concerned, the idea was not to come with your hand out, you know, demonstrating your need, but rather to come with this sort of compelling mission and getting people to come on board with the mission. And of course, the mission for the Dominicans is preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And Aquinas has the only Catholic doctoral program in preaching. And I think most Catholics would acknowledge that preaching has a long way to go, shall we say, in the Catholic Church. So, you know, when I would say we've got this program and we're really producing master preachers, people would come on board really pretty rapidly.
A big part of your priestly ministry is scripture.
Right.
As I mentioned, Pauline scholar. What do you think, assess the average Catholic's knowledge of scripture? And, you know, if you were to give, you know, one talk about scripture to a Catholic or a group, what do you think, what's most important that we glean out of scripture?
Well, there's a lot, okay? I would say that at least my own sense of the Christian faithful in the Catholic Church is they're pretty familiar with the stories, either the stories about Jesus or the stories by Jesus. So there's not a whole lot of, you know, kind of backfill that needs to be done there. The parts of especially the New Testament that I think are closed books are the letters of Paul. So I spend a lot of time when I'm talking about the letters of Paul, talking about, you know, Paul himself as a pastor, as a community organizer, as an evangelist, and, you know, kind of how he did it, and how the letters then are ways in which he exercised pastoral guidance over these communities that he himself founded. He would found a place, raise up local leadership, and then he moved on, you know, to the next place. And the local leadership's responsibility, you know, really was to, obviously, to continue to guide the community, but to maintain communion with the founder himself, with Paul. And so that's how we get the letters.
Mm.
Now, we've lost, in many cases, the letters to which he replies. He'll say, you know, in especially the Corinthian correspondence, now about these other matters that you mentioned in your letter, and then he'll bing, 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 you know, kind of spell out things as he sees them. But, you know, it's unfortunate we only have one side of the correspondence, but yeah, he was a prolific correspondent.
Yes, yes, indeed. Father Sean Charles Martin is my guest. This is the interview of the week, and he is currently serving as pastor of Our Lady of the Lay Catholic Church in Rockwall, fast-growing suburb of Dallas. Large congregation, according to the bio here, weekly attendance, over 4,000 people.
Yeah.
And how was it, and for what reason were you called back to diocesan work? Because what you were doing was very different from being a pastor of a parish.
Yeah, actually, Our Lady of the Lake is the first parish at which I've actually worked. You know, worked obviously in the diocese, started off teaching 7th and 8th grade at St. Pius X in East Dallas, and then went to Bishop Lynch, and was there for 6 years from 1983 to 1989. But you know, as I said, always in schools. I came back here mostly because I had retired as president from Aquinas, and my board had given me a year sabbatical, and I was working on some projects and doing some writing and so forth and so on. And the pastor of Our Lady of the Lake died suddenly. George Monahan had been a year ahead of me in school. And so we were all shocked that he died, because I think he was 67 when he died, which I think is tragically young. And the then auxiliary, Bishop Greg Kelly, who, again, we've all been friends since our 20s, you know, we were having dinner one night, and he said, "Why don't you think about going to Rockwall?" And I'm like, "Oh, Greg, I don't know anything about parishes." And Greg kind of smiled in the way that he does and said, "You know, you were a college president. I think you can probably be a parish priest." So I went out to Rockwall, and you know, had this. There's an amazing staff out there. They're just so creative and energetic and skilled and all of that. People are great. I thought I would sort of be a stranger in a strange land. Well, it turned out that people that I had known in the 80s in East Dallas, either they were the students that I had taught or the parents of students that I had taught, had followed the Interstate 30 corridor out to Rockwall in search of the good life that you can find in Rockwall County. And so I probably knew when I walked into the door, I don't know, 75 people, you know. And they were active members of the parish who were really helpful in helping me get organized once I arrived there. The guy that is now the president of the parish council is a former student of mine from Bishop Lynch. Known the guy since he was 14 years of age.
Yeah, you know?
He's a grandfather now, and that, I don't know how that happened.
From 14 to be a grandfather.
Yeah.
And so any surprises running a parish or how, you know, I think of Rockwall as being pretty kind of far out there. A lot of people don't know about Our Lady of the Lake. Maybe tell us about the parish itself. What's unique about it?
You know, I love maps. And I would urge you to look at the map of the Diocese of Dallas with the counties. Rockwall is smack dab in the center.
Is that right?
Yeah. Frankly, we ought to call it the Diocese of Rockwall. Mostly because, I mean, seriously, when you look at the map, Fannin County, Grayson County, Collin County, Dallas County, Ellis County, Navarro County, Rockwall, and Kaufman County, we are smack in the center. Mm. Now, granted, you know, it's not the demographic center, but it is the geographic center of the diocese. But it's, yeah, it's a growing place. Lots of young people there. In part, I think Rockwall is a little more affordable place in which to live than, you know, if you're living in, say, North Dallas or Plano or some of the other northern suburbs. So there's a real sense of community at this parish, which I really enjoy. I'm extroverted, and so I enjoy, you know, getting to meet people and spend time with them and all of that. But yeah, it's a really terrific place. There are actually four separate communities in Rockwall County. City of Rockwall, the City of Heath. I had heard of both of those because there are signs from the freeway that will say Heath pointing south and Rockwall pointing north. I got out there and I'd never heard of Fate, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Fate is really one of the fastest growing municipalities in the Dallas.
Right off of I-30, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. A little north of I-30. Well, I guess it's both north and south of I-30. Mm-hmm. But I just, because I'd been gone for so long, I never heard of it. But it's this booming place. And then further west on further east on the eastern edge of Rockwall County is the city of Royce City. And that actually is an interesting place because it straddles three different counties. It's in Rockwall County, it's in Collin County, and it's in Hunt County. So it's a very, you know, a cosmopolitan, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. You mentioned having learned how to fundraise, and that's part of being a pastor of a parish as well. With the growth, and you had told me previously that a lot of people are coming into Rockwall County from California.
Yeah,
we're
getting a lot of immigrants from California.
Maybe they like the water. They got water out in California. Not quite an ocean, but they get a big lake at any rate. So is there growing pains? Is there something, anything that needs to be done to accommodate the influx of people?
Well, it's true in Rockwall. Yeah, we are experiencing growing pains. The church holds 850. At the Spanish Mass at noon, we routinely get 1,000 to 1,200, depending upon, you know, the day. So we're definitely experiencing growing pains when it comes to just space. There's also growing pains when it comes to programming. The complex has 7 classrooms. We've got over 1,000 youngsters enrolled in faith formation, not to mention, you know, the various adult groups that want to meet for, you know, whether it's prayer or fellowship or learning opportunities or whatever else, and we're just out of space. So we really do need to relocate altogether because there is no room on the present property, which is only 7 acres. There's no room on the present property to build another classroom building or to extend the length of the church or anything like that. So we're readying ourselves for a move. There's a 30-acre parcel of land that some parishioners are willing to donate to the church. And I'm working with architects to secure a site plan for it and all that business. So.
Any chance of a school being out there?
Yeah. We did a feasibility study, and the feasibility study indicates that people do want a Catholic school. So that's part of the plan as well.
Because there really isn't one out there, is there?
No, it would be the easternmost Catholic school in the diocese.
Yeah.
The closest ones to us would be Good Shepherd School in Garland. On the other side of the lake, obviously, and St. Pius X, mm-hmm. where I began my teaching career 45 years ago.
You also have a connection to Christ the King Parish, right?
Yeah,
what is that connection?
I did. I lived there officially for 4 years. I was working at the University of Dallas, both in administration and faculty, and I lived at Christ the King, because that's about a, 15-minute drive, I guess, to Irving, wouldn't you say? The then pastor is a very close friend, Don Zimmerman. It was kind of an unsung hero in the theological community in the United States because he's done a lot to encourage theologians, both those of us who are ordained and those of us who are lay theologians. But in any case, Don said to me, you know, you're working out there. Why don't you live here? And, you know, it'll all be great. So then when I was recruited to go up to St. Louis, Don was really funny. He's like, this is your home in Dallas. And he wanted me to come down, which I did, at least once a month, to preach on the weekends and to conduct a class on Sunday afternoon. And I would do that, usually fly in on Saturday morning, sometimes maybe even land 4:35 at Love Field for a mass starting at 5:00 at Christ the King. Sometimes I cut it a little too close, but for the nearly 20 years I was in St. Louis, I flew down at least once a month to preach and to teach at Christ the King. So I have lots and lots of friends. That's actually where I know Mary Ann Chapman. It was from Christ the King.
Very interesting. We're down to our last few minutes. Fascinating story. Father Sean Charles Martin currently is serving as pastor of Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church in Rockwall, Texas. Told me the smallest county in Texas, but also probably one of the fastest growing, and much of this area is growing, of course. And just as we kind of wrap up here, it's an interesting fit because I would have thought that you being a pastor would have been maybe limiting in some of your interests like preaching and study and exegesis and writing, but it seems like everything kind of comes together and you're able to do a lot of things that you enjoy as a priest and being a pastor at the same time. It doesn't strike me like you're not a round peg in a square hole. It seems like you're in a good place.
Well, I think parishes are certainly the place where people meet God, right? You know, I mean, it is one of the most foundational institutions in the Catholic Church. And so even when I was in full-time academics, I always preached at a parish, whether it was here or St. Louis or the Diocese of Belleville, anywhere I happened to be in Houston. When I worked down there, I preached in nearby parishes next to the seminary. So, I mean, I really do believe in the importance of parishes. I will say that everything I've done up to this point, including being president of Aquinas Institute of Theology, has actually prepared me for what I'm doing now as pastor of Our Lady of the Lake.
Yes.
So I'm grateful for that.
And one of the things that we're also doing here is you had written a series of what are called Damascus Minutes or Damascus Moments, talking about transformation in people's lives. And everybody wants to be transformed. Everybody wants to be alive in Christ. Can you speak on that as we close out? Just a couple minutes remaining. And what is your message about the transformative power of the gospel?
Well, I think you put it, everyone wants to be transformed. The way I would put it is that God asks all of us to be transformed.
Okay.
Some of us are more willing to do that than others, right? But when you look at the whether it's the Gospels or the letters of Paul, the consistent message, you think of the first words of Jesus in all of the Gospels is repent and believe in the gospel. And the word that it gets translated, I think probably badly, in the New Testament is metanoia in Greek. That's the noun form. And I think the best way to translate that in English is be transformed. You know, so a fundamental call of the gospel is that we be transformed. Now, we also believe that we don't do this by ourselves, that it is thanks to the gift that God gives us of himself that we are transformed when we, accept that gift.
I'm going to ask you an off-the-wall question that just popped into my mind because of your studies and all that. But back in May, when they had the conclave, and Father Robert Prevost came up on, and they said, "We have an American Pope for the first time." Did you have any knowledge of him, or what were your thoughts when that was announced?
Oh, I certainly knew who he was.
Oh, you did? Not many people did.
Yeah, well, he had been prior general of the Augustinians. And, that world of the Dominicans, Augustinians, Carmelites, Franciscans is a pretty small world. So I'd known who he was. But here's the funny thing. So people were saying to me, since I lived in Rome for so long, it was like, so who's the next pope going to be? I'm like, I have no idea, Pope Francis has certainly internationalized the College of Cardinals, so who knows? But it won't be an American. So then, he's brought out on the loggia, and my phone blows up. And people are saying, you said it wasn't going to be an American. I'm like, ugh. And one of my colleagues from Aquinas had gone to Villanova University and Chicago Theological Union with Robert Prevost from the time they were 18 years of age. And I just got, he texted me a picture of him and then Bishop Prevost in Chiclayo, Peru, standing next to one another, grinning into the camera. And so my reply back to him was, so I'm a friend of the Pope? And his reply was, I think it depends on how you treat me from now on.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time. We are out of it, time, that is. And thank you so much, Father Sean Charles Martin, currently pastor of, as I mentioned, Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church in Rockwall, Texas. Their website, ourladyrockwall.org, ourladyrockwall.org, and interestingly located on Damascus Road in Rockwall. So thank you very much. And again, thank you for Marianne Chapman as well for making this introduction and this visit possible. And of course, Teresita Perez for running the board. And thank you for listening. If you would have suggestions for future interviews, you can always reach out to me, Dave Palmer at grnonline.com. This is the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. God bless you.
Are you searching for a deeper relationship with Christ? The Marian Servants of the Spirit of Christ invite all listeners to attend a Come and See event on Tuesday morning, January 13th from 10 a.m. to noon at All Saints Catholic Church in Dallas. Come and see how the Marian Servants seek and find God in community life, dedicated to guiding people to healing and purpose in Christ. For more information on the Come and See event, visit Marian Servants of the Spirit of Christ Facebook page.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. We're broadcasting on 9:10 a.m. to the east and also 11:40 a.m. to the west, also on the GRN app and on our live stream at grnonline.com. And this is an eclectic program. We always like to talk about things that are local and Catholic. And one of the themes that we love to talk about is Catholic education. And I've done that many times. And very often it has been one of our wonderful priests, Father Alphonse Nazzaro, who has suggested an interview because he is so, so passionate about Catholic education. And this one is particularly interesting because, of course, Father Alphonse is the pastor of Mary Immaculate Parish in Farmers Branch, where they have an amazing school there. And he suggested that we talk to some of the students because some of the students at the school are going to Rome later on this month. And this is quite exciting. I have four of the students in studio with me. And I also want to thank Claire Darr, Director of Wonder and Excitement at the school. What a title that is, because she's been helped me prepare so much for this. So Father Alphonse is here, and we have four students ranging in fifth to seventh grade. And they are Emma Aguilar, Rosie Droge, Sophia Perez and Alexander Smith, and they are the ones that are chosen to represent the choir that's going to Rome. It's just a couple of the details here. They are going to be performing two times at the Vatican for Jubilee celebrations at St. Paul Outside the Walls and St. Peter's Basilica, one time at the Basilica of St. Francis in Assisi, Italy. And they're leaving on the 29th of December and staying there until January 5th, okay? And this has to do with the beautiful fine arts program at the school, where they have robust choir, music, and art curriculum, and students regularly perform. If you want to learn more about the school, mischool.org, as in Mary Immaculate School.org. So we're going to have a chance to not only talk to each one of these amazing students and father, but also at the end of the interview, they're going to sing the Kyrie. So you're going to get to hear one of the songs that they will be performing. So, all right, with no further ado, Father Alphonse, thanks so much. This is really exciting. And they were even expressing before we started how excited they are. It's almost surreal for them to be doing this. How did this all come about?
Oh, well, let's see. You know, after the election of an American Pope, I said to myself, it would be wonderful if our kids had a chance to see the Pope. Right? Because first American Pope is a Jubilee year. And the next time these kids would be able to have a Jubilee year, they would be in their 30s. So we went about contacting some people that might be able to help us, people that have helped groups go to Rome. And we got a hold of someone that helped Bishop Lynch to their choir to be able to sing in Rome. And so in the end, our kids will be able to sing at those basilicas, and they'll even have an opportunity to sing for Pope Leo when he blesses the nativity scene in St. Peter's Square.
Wow.
So I don't think we understand this until we actually are there.
Yeah.
And that we're able to witness it for ourselves. I don't think the children realize how universal the church is.
Yeah,
And I'm thrilled for them. It's been a while since I've been to Rome, and so I'm looking forward to hearing them and just watching their reactions when they'll also have another opportunity to be with Pope Leo on January 1st when he celebrates Mass. So I just remember how exciting it was the first time I saw the Pope go down the aisle at St. Peter's and almost could touch him.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And how many are going? How many students? How many parents? I presume you're going.
Oh, yeah. You know, God willing. We're about 20 kids that will be going to Rome.
Wow. So we've got four of the 20 here. It would have been hard to have all the students here. Mm-hmm. So, and Father, this really reflects, as I mentioned in the introduction, your passion for Catholic education. And how does this kind of fit into the overall mission and kind of the direction that you have for this school?
Yeah, our mission is a Christ-centered learning environment that fosters wonder and excitement.
Yeah.
So we are always, and as you mentioned, Claire Dyer is our director of wonder and excitement. So we're always trying to look for ways that we can create opportunities for our children to have an exceptional educational experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so going to Rome, I can't think of a better way to do that. And all the other opportunities. This is the same choir that sang on television, on TV not too long ago for All Souls Day. So back on November, All Souls Day, November 2nd. So they sang, they were the first choir from a school to sing at a televised Mass.
Wow, what an honor. And I don't even have to ask you all if you're excited, because I know you are, and maybe a little bit of nervousness and excitement. So I do want to bring on, in addition to Father Alphonse, the pastor there at the parish and the school, these four amazing students who are here, and I mentioned their names before. So I want to go first to Rosie. Rosie is actually from Poland. She's fluent in Polish. Her mom is here, and her little sister as well. And talk about one of the things you all are going to be able to do is walk through the holy doors, you know, during this Jubilee year. So what do you know about that? And tell us how what that's going to mean for you.
Yeah, I know that it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I'm just really excited to do it because every 25 years, so as Father said, we'd be in our 30s. So And it's so nice that we actually, like, get to go to Rome and walk through the holy doors. Like, now it's just, we, like, think about it. But then when we're actually there, I think we're finally going to realize, like, wow, like, this is so amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and also that I get to go with my friends and my classmates and my family, it just makes it even more special. And I think that when we're there, it's going to be like a moment that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you take a lot of pictures, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is something you'll be telling your kids and grandkids about, God willing, one day, right? I mean, this is such a great opportunity. And well, thank you, Rosie. And we'll come back also again. And if you want to talk about something in the school that you think is really cool, even outside this amazing trip to Rome, we can talk about that as well. So that is Rosie. And we'll go now to Alexander. And talk about some of this music is going to be in Latin, right? So learning Latin, which I presume you're doing at the school, and also Latin as a historic music. Explain that, if you could, Alexander, about what does that mean? You'll be doing some of these songs in Latin, right? Yeah?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And what is the significance of singing in Latin? Are you excited about that?
I am very excited about singing in Latin. But it is interesting.
It's the language of the church, right? I mean, that this is just such a wonderful language, and how beautiful to be singing that. Do you enjoy singing in Latin?
Yes. It's a very interesting and fun language to speak in.
And to sing in as well, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Yes, especially singing in it. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, awesome. And we're going to have a chance to, I guess the Kyrie will be in more Greek than Latin, right? The Kyrie, so we'll get to sing that. And I understand you might that you have a very, very beautiful voice, and so I'm looking forward to hearing that. So that is Alexander. Let's go to Sophia Perez, and there is of the Fine Arts Program. Tell us about that and what's special about that there at Mary Immaculate School.
The Fine Arts Program is a huge reason of why I love Mary Immaculate. It enhances musical and theatrical talents, and it makes you feel confident, like you can do amazing things. My experience in being in the Fine Arts Program is being in band and playing my saxophone and getting the confidence to perform solos in a live audience. And especially in choir with Miss B, our music director, she gave me the opportunity to shine and sing at Mass and have this wonderful opportunity to sing for the select choir that is going to Rome. And I think a huge reason of why we're going to Rome is because Father Alphonse and our teachers, they believe in us. And they help us believe in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about performing in front of a crowd. And so when you're in front of the crowd and the Pope, the preparation that you've done so far in singing to, you know, other groups, that's going to help you prepare for this. Huh?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, just I can't imagine you're singing and the Pope, the Pontiff, the Supreme Pontiff is watching y'all. That is going to be so exciting. There's also something, Sophia, called the Admissions Showcase, which is going to be on February 5th. Of course, this will be after y'all come back from Rome. What is that?
Yes. It is a opportunity for families that would like to experience all the great offerings that MIS provides. And you can meet teachers, you can see fine arts spaces in different parts of the school, and learn why Mary Immaculate is so special. I really think that kids will love it.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Sophia Perez. Let's go to Emma Aguilar. And speaking of singing for the Pope, I talked about that a moment ago. How special is that going to be for you? How do you think that's going to go?
I think it's going to go very well.
Yeah. You excited about that?
Yes, very.
Yeah. Yeah. That is awesome. And let's go back, Father, now that you've had a chance to hear the kids sing, what how are they preparing for this? Obviously, a lot of practice. How often are the practices happening, and what's going into this trip?
I think I'm sure the kids could probably answer better. They probably practice at least once a week. So the biggest challenge was the Latin. Although our kids do sing quite a few hymns in Latin, the Salve Regina, the Regina Caeli, the Tantum Ergo, O Salutaris, but the Mass parts they were not too familiar with. And when we were speaking to our contact in Rome, he asked if they knew Latin. And so this was a couple months ago, and I said, "Of course they." I'm sorry. I said, of course they do. Of course they do. Of course they know Latin. Now, you're right. The Kyrie is in Greek, but they really didn't know much of the Latin other than just in theory.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been working for the last couple months on the mass parts so that they would be able to sing the Kyrie, the Gloria, the Agnus Dei, the Sanctus, and thank God we don't have to do the Credo. But they've been working hard on learning those, and then they'll be able to sing their regular hymns that they know so well in English.
Yeah, so this is December 29th through January 5th, so it's approximately a week. And are there other things that y'all will be doing? I mean, the singing will be one part of it. If any of y'all want to jump in, or what else are you excited about doing in Rome while you're there?
I am very excited about our day trip to Assisi and also visiting the different historical landmarks of Rome. And I think it's going to be a very cool opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
That was Sophia, by the way, speaking. Anything else?
I'm pretty sure we're going to see the body of Carlo Acutis.
Oh,
so I'm,
wow.
Like, really excited to see it because he's a newly canonized saint. So, yeah.
And he's not that much older than you guys are. I mean, when he passed away, I think he was like 15 or so, right? I mean, that's amazing. Anything else that y'all are excited about seeing? Those are really two really good. I mean, Assisi, what a famous city that is with Claire and Francis. Anything else? Because I think we can go ahead and get ready to sing the Kyrie. Y'all ready? So go ahead and position the microphones so that everybody, because you'll be singing together. So this is, Father said, probably about 3 minutes long or so. And this is the Mary Immaculate Choir. And this is one of the songs that they will be performing. And does Alexander start with a solo? Okay, so the Alexander is going to begin with a solo. And then you guys just take it away, and I'm going to be quiet.
Kyrie, eleison.
Such beautiful voices. That is amazing. Thank you again. These are the four of the 20 members of the Mary Immaculate School Choir who will be going to Rome on December 29th. And this is, and you guys are going to be there for New Year's Day. And I think you're going to be seeing the Pope there on New Year's Day as well, huh? The other songs that you're singing, you don't have to sing it, but any of the other songs that you want to mention that you'll be singing, Rosie? Yeah.
We'll also be singing, the Order of the Mass, so like Agnus Dei, Sanctus, and the Gloria.
Hmm, okay. How long have you been singing? Or, I mean, the four of you together harmonize so well. And have you always felt that you, like, when did you start singing or realize that you had this talent?
I started realizing that I had this talent probably when I was in fifth grade, because okay. I had an opportunity to sing for masses, and then I realized, whoa, I have a really good voice, and then I just started practicing very well, and I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. I asked Father if there's anything in Latin that could be sung, and he mentioned, he wrote down Agnus Dei. Can anybody sing Agnus Dei, or Rosie, do you feel comfortable doing that? Or Alexander, do you want to sing it? I know I'm kind of putting you all on the spot here. Are you okay with that, Alexander?
Perhaps, yeah.
Okay, yeah, give it a shot if you'd like.
Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis.
Very nice. Wow, that was like a bonus one. That was, I kind of put you guys in the spot. I love this. Those listening on radio can't see that Father Alphonse is over here directing, which is so cool. I wish we had this all on video. And again, if you're just tuning in, this is the North Texas Interview of the Week. And, I've done, I think, probably thousands of these interviews. And this is such a special one. And I'll never forget this interview because this is so cool. And to see the excitement in your faces and your beautiful voices. And Father, thank you so much for doing this. And just if you're just tuning in, the Mary Immaculate School Choir from Farmers Branch is going to be traveling to Rome right after Christmas. And they're going to be singing at St. Peter's Basilica, St. Paul Outside the Wall, Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi in Assisi. And, seeing, as they mentioned, the body of St. Carlo Acutis, the recently canonized young saint. Yeah, Father, you have a letter from the Apostolic Nuncio. Do you want to mention that or tell us what that the significance of that?
Sure. I'm always looking for ways to increase the experience for the children, and just wait until you get a no or something from someone. But I thought it would be wonderful for the children to know that there actually is an ambassador from the Vatican to the United States, what we call the Apostolic Nuncio, the personal representative of the Holy Father to the United States. And so it's Cardinal Christophe Pierre. And so I wrote to him and I asked if he would be willing to come fly down to Dallas. We would pay for him and just talk to the children, explain what a wonderful opportunity this was. And, he came back and he said, unfortunately, I'm too busy. I can't do that. I said, well, would you be willing to join the kids in a Zoom call, right? And, he said, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that either. And then I said, well, would you be willing to write a letter for the children? And he definitely was able to do that. And we just received it a few days ago. And he just wrote, dear students of Mary Immaculate Catholic School, I'm very happy to hear that you'll be soon traveling to Rome and that your choir will sing in three very special basilicas. As the Holy Father's representative to the United States, I want to wish you a safe and joyful pilgrimage. When you sing to God, you bring joy to the heart of Jesus. He loves you very much and will be close to you throughout your journey. Through the prayers of Mary Immaculate, the Holy Father gives you his apostolic blessing, asking God to fill you with strength and joy. With my own prayers and good wishes, I am sincerely yours in Christ, Christophe Pierre. So I thought that was so beautiful. I'm going to read it to the kids. They got a sneak preview today, but I was going to read it to the kids today so that they know that we have the Apostolic Nuncio, we have the Pope's blessing. And I have to tell you that I'm just very grateful to God because we did some fundraising for this trip. It's an expensive adventure. And I'm very happy to say that all the children would be traveling for free. We raised enough money so that all the children would be able to go for free. And that I just have to give thanks to God for all the amazing parishioners, benefactors, families and friends of Mary Immaculate that made that possible.
Yeah, praise God for that. If you want to learn more about the school, and I would like, as many of you that would like to, just say something about the school that you really appreciate. Even outside, obviously going to Rome is really cool, but even outside that. And Rosie, what else do you like about Mary Immaculate School?
I really like how Mary Immaculate is very Christ-centered. All the, like, we're all connected as brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of the teachers, like, always focus every subject, no matter if it's like math, English, or science. They always center everything in Christ. And it really reminds me of the verse, my hope is in the Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
So like, we do everything through Christ and in Christ.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Sophia?
I like that all the teachers and the alumni, the staff, and all the students are like one big family, and that we're all, like Rosie said, like brothers and sisters, and we're all together, and I just think it's beautiful. And I also like that we have Dominican sisters too. For example, Sister Margaret Mary, she teaches religion, and I think it is very well to... It's very, and our principal, Sister Marianne, she's also a Dominican sister.
Yeah.
And it is a big opportunity to learn more about Dominicans. And I just think it's something that not many other Catholic schools have. And it's very special about Mary Immaculate.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love the Dominicans. I love that. They're my favorite religious order. All right. Thank you, Sophia. And Emma, did you have something as well you wanted to mention?
Something that I like about our school is how kind and understanding the teachers are and how helpful they are. If you're struggling on a subject or anything, they'll help you.
Yeah, thank you. And Alexander, I want to thank you for leading those songs and getting it started. You have a very beautiful voice, and so I want to thank you for being here as well. God's definitely blessed all of y'all with very, very beautiful voices. And just to put it into perspective, you know, I'm almost 60 and I've never been to Rome, and I work in Catholic radio. So y'all are going as youngsters and still in grade school. So what an amazing blessing that is. And speaking of blessings, Father Alphonse perhaps can close us in a blessing. And I just want to close out by again thanking Claire Darr, because even though she hasn't been speaking in this interview, she's the director of Wonder and Excitement, and she's been the one that sent me such a organized list of questions and the students. And I do want to thank all these amazing students that you've heard: Emma Aguilar, Rosie Droge, Sophia Perez, and Alexander Smith, and of course, Father Alphonse Nazaro, the amazing pastor of this school. So, Father, we got about 45 seconds. Can you give us a quick blessing?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Mm-hmm. Almighty God, we ask for your blessing upon us. We ask you to guide us always and to keep us safe.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Catholic radio for your soul in North Texas. Heard also on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.
Prayers, which were mindless, repetitious prayers.